propagates. When you're on Jonah's boat, you get Jonah's storm. You recall that Jonah went in the opposite direction of where God called him to go, just like our nation and our state is doing. And he got a storm. And if you were traveling with Jonah, guess what? You get the same storm. How many of you are in the state of California experiencing a storm? It's a firestorm. Living here on the West Coast is like living in northern Israel during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel had rejected the Lord, and they had embraced sexual immorality, idolatry, perversion, and they were persecuting and killing off the prophets of the Lord. And as you recall, there was a showdown on Mount Carmel. Now, Carmel means fruitful hill. We have a Carmel in California right next to Monterey, which means Mountain of the King. We have a spiritual heritage here in California, and we've walked away from it. And this showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, God answered by fire. And Elijah said, "The God who answers by fire, he is God." Folks, this is not climate change. This is the weatherman. Who's in charge of the weather? Who sends the sunshine and the rain? Who? Now, this is where, on Mount Carmel, is where the people of God, their hearts, the people of Israel, their hearts were turned back to the Lord. How many of you believe that we need a return, a turning, a repentance, a turnaround, and our hearts restored to the Lord? Can I get an amen? Elijah had called for no rain. And it had not rained in northern Israel for 3.5 years. Listen to James, who is the brother of our Lord, as he recounts this. In James 5, 17 through 18, it says, "Elijah was a man of like nature, like ours. Yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Could we be Elijah today and call for the rain? Of course we could. But what's different in this story is that the people's hearts had been returned to the Lord. It's a fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14. Where he says, "If I shut up the heavens that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people," say it with me, "then if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land." How many of you would like the abalone to come back? How about the salmon? What about the uni, the sea urchins? That would revive our economy right there. Well, another Elijah, the cousin to Jesus, he arrived at the scene just before Jesus, the Messiah. And this is what he said about the coming one's baptism of fire. Remember, he said, "There's one coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now that could refer to the day of Pentecost. I'm sure it does. With the Holy Spirit came down, they spoke in tongues, and there was cloven tongues of fire. But there's another day coming when God will baptize the earth, not as in the days of Noah, which was rain. James Baldwin said, "Fire next time." A baptism of fire. This is what he said. "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, and the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." So when you're harvesting wheat, you have the animals to separate the hull from the seed, and then you throw it up with a winnower, and the wind catches the hulls, the chaff, and blows it away, and there remains the wheat. And the Lord said that he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This fire is unquenchable. It's a picture of what's coming. Today I'd like to talk about the three purposes of fire. Fire purifies. Fire punishes. And fire preserves. In Psalms 12, verses 6 through 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the fire." How many times? Seven times. Remember that word, seven. "You shall keep them, you shall preserve them from this generation forever." The word of the Lord purifies us, and it's a fire. It was a fire in the prophet's bones. It says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing were happening." Whoa, my goodness. We've got COVID. We've got fires. We've got social unrest. We've got economic meltdown. We've got deaths. Anybody feel like this could be the fiery trial? Okay, you're out there. Now, when the fires devastated Coffee Park down in Santa Rosa, I drove through that neighborhood. And I looked around, and at every house, there was only one structure that was standing on each parcel. And guess what it was? It was a chimney. The fireplace. Why? Well, I had learned that bricks have already gone through the fire. So when the fire strikes, they're immune because they've already been through the fire. Folks, that's an encouragement to you and I. We've already been through the fire. And so we can't be torched. We can't be touched. Do I need to say that again? Folks, we've already been through the fire. We can't be torched and we can't be touched, right? The same fire that destroys the ungodly preserves and refines and purifies the righteous. Now, there were three Hebrew slaves in Babylon. And they emerged from a furnace that was heated, how many times? Seven times. Where did we hear that? Psalms 12, the word of God, purified seven times, his words in me. How many of you feel like you've been purified seven times? Because they would not bow down when the music played. Listen to this amazing story. I'm reading from Daniel chapter 3. That's easy to remember. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew slaves. Now, I'm picking up the story. "Now, if you are ready, at the time that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image that which I have made." And that's good. "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Who is the God who will deliver us from the hands of this world? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said, "O King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. How many of you believe that? And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which he had already promoted in the chapter 1, previous chapters. He spoke and commanded that they heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than ever before. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, saying to his counselors, "Did not we just cast 3 men into the fire?" They answered and said, "True, O king." He goes, "Look," he answered, "I see 4. I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is as the Son of God." Can I get a name, please? Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here." Then the 3 came out from the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the administrators and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. Let me read that again. They saw those men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor was their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god but their own God, the true God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, any nation, any language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like the Lord our God." And I'll add, his son Jesus. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, what's the kingdom that's mentioned in the book of Revelation? Babylon. First purpose of fire is to purify and preserve. Second purpose of fire is to punish. It says in Amos 5:6, "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph," which means he will add, "and devour it, which no one could quench in Bethel." Now that's interesting. What does Bethel mean? House of God. Where does judgment begin? In the house of God, we're told. I believe this is the antecedent scripture for judgment beginning at the household of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. Psalms 97, which we sang, verses 3 through 5, says, "The fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. His lightnings," notice, "his lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth." Have you watched the images of the mountains just melting like a volcano in fire and flame? The news reported, our governor, Gavin Newsom, close to 12,000 lightning strikes over a 72-hour period that caused more than 560 new fires, new wildfires in our state. Folks, we can't blame this one on PG&E. Sorry. We are told in Jude 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened just a week prior to close to 12,000 lightning strikes and 560 new wildfires? Our governor signed into law reducing penalties, removing penalties for offending children, pedophilia. You know what Jesus said about that? It's better that somebody, that a noose be hung around somebody's neck into the deepest sea than to offend one of these little ones. Listen to Peter again. Jude chapter 7. Sodom and Gomorrah, guilty of fornication, sexual immorality, and the cities around them in a similar matter to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Folks, this is a picture of what's coming. This is just the warm-up act. The earth is going to be... Listen to Peter. 2 Peter 3:10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." There are people who had only seconds to get out of their houses. It just overcame them like a thief. "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Revelation 18, 4 through 10. Speaking of Babylon. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out from among her, my people, lest you share in her sins.'" You know, there's two strategies with calamity. You either hide. How many of you hid during COVID-19? Yeah, you hide. You hide. The other strategy is flee. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, flee. "Come out from her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God remembered her iniquities. Render to her as her cup deserves, and repay her double according to her work. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen. I am no widow. I will not see sorrow.' Therefore, her plagues will come on her in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. The kings of the earth committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her. And they will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, that great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come." Fire purges. It purifies. It refines. Second, fire is used for punishment. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain with fire from heaven. And thirdly, the conclusion, fire propagates. Listen to this. My wife told me that when we were living at our old Casper location and it heated up, that the pine cones, the heat caused the pine cones to burst open and the seeds were scattered. This fire, the reason that we have these amazing redwood forests is because when the fire hits them, those seed cones burst open and the seeds are scattered and they proliferate. It is a fact that in the course of nature, heat is what opens up the pine cones and releases the seeds. There will be a new heaven and a new earth after the fire. Listen to Peter, 2 Peter 3, and we close with this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening, hurrying the coming day of the Lord? Because the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And nevertheless, what follows the promise, a new heavens and a new earth. Bring it on. You folks have already been through the fire. Though you walk through the waters, you won't be drowned. Though you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. You can't be touched. You can't be torched. Somebody say amen.